I am joined in the studio today by Andy Downs of the Mike Downs Center for Indiana Politics. He is now our monthly contributor to the news roundup here on WBOI Presents. Andy, thanks so much for coming by the studios.
It's my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
January has been both incredibly long and fast and short, all at the same time. And it's hard to kind of believe that we are almost to February and that we are at the halfway point of the legislative session. This is a very short session, which is probably good for everybody given all that's gone on in January everywhere else. But let's talk a little bit about what has happened down in Indianapolis so far this year.
As a quick reminder to everyone, the budget is done every other year in the state of Indiana, and that's what we call the long session. And then the other year, the year when the budget's not done, is known as the short session, and that's what we're in right now. We will actually theoretically be done at the latest by the middle of March, but it really does shorten the amount of time legislators spend down there. And those who follow legislation carefully are often sort of, I don't want to say surprised, but the middle time of the session does kind of come up very quickly in the short session. But we should remember that the original intention of the short session was to simply deal with things that sort of popped up between budget years or emergencies, corrections, those sorts of things. And it was never really intended to be viewed as sort of a large session where anything and everything was on the table. It's evolved a little bit in the last several years to the point where now we have a lot of legislators who just see it as another session. They do not introduce as many bills, in part because they know they have to be done by the middle of March instead of the end of April. That midpoint shows up very early in February and often surprises people. So we are at that point now. Bills that have not left the chamber of origin and made it over to the other chamber, they aren't necessarily dead because those items can always be amended into another bill, but many of them really are sort of no longer part of the discussion for the legislative session.
What are they going to get done in this session? What are some bills of note? Have we gotten to that point of being able to really identify things? I know that the governor did sign the surplus, but is there anything else that we can think of?
It is actually an interesting session for a couple of reasons. First, it's not uncommon that before the session begins, leaders in the chambers, as well as the governor, say, here's our list of things we want to get done. And then at the end of the session, we sort of say, it's not the same list any longer in terms of what actually gets done. And that's just the nature of how the legislative process goes. But this year, going into the session, a lot of people were talking about how, some even used the word boring, but how uneventful this session was maybe going to be. It's really kind of playing out that way. We are seeing the things that were discussed before the session actually moving in the session. No big issue has sort of cropped up and caused lots of controversy. And in many respects, we can maybe look at that original list of things and say, yeah, that's what's going to get done. We have seen some movement already on things like the Hold Harmless bill for school districts. We've seen movement on the bill that was going to change the professional training or continuing education for teachers, that's moving. Hands-free cell phone is moving. So a lot of things are moving that people had talked about moving, and nothing has really sort of popped up that is too surprising yet.
One of the things that came out earlier this week was the retirement of South Bend Democrat Pat Bauer, who's been a fixture in Indianapolis. What does that mean for the House side, and what does that mean for the Democrats in state legislature?
Pat Bauer is a very interesting character. He's been in the legislature basically for 50 years at this point, and was without a doubt, if not the most powerful member of the House, certainly one of the most powerful members of the House for a considerable length of time. But earlier in the 2000s, he was actually removed as leader by the Democrats, and it would be unfair to say he has been just a member of the House of Representatives for the last couple of terms, but the amount of power he wielded certainly had been reduced. What we have to keep in mind, though, is even in that reduced capacity, as some might call it, there was still, if not a shadow or a cloud, which sounds kind of ominous, you know, a presence that sort of was something that Democrats had to deal with. When he leaves the General Assembly, there will be, of course, a massive free-for-all to get his seat. That's, I think, something that we can accept because it's viewed as a relatively safe seat. And we can definitely say then the era of Pat Bauer has come to an end. Some would say the moment he was out of leadership, his era had come to an end. But that discounts the effect that him even being present has had in the legislature, which means basically when we see folks getting back together in 2021, it will be a different legislature in at least sort of an atmospheric kind of way because Pat Bauer will be gone.
We're going to kind of go a little bit broader now and talk about the national news. We can't really talk about the month of January without talking about the Senate impeachment trial of the president. It has certainly dominated the airwaves here on WBOI and probably a lot of our listeners' minds in reading about it and talking about it. But let's talk specifically about the role that Indiana's two senators, Senators Todd Young and Senator Mike Braun, are playing in this process. Both are relatively new senators. Senator Mike Braun probably could credit Donald Trump for getting his seat and pushing him over the hump with Senator Joe Donnelly. So let's talk a little bit about their approaches to this process, and let's start there.
Well, I want to start with something else, if I could, and just say that it's very good that places like WBOI have made the raw audio available to folks. You know, when you think about this years ago, you had to wait until you got home and then you consumed news. But in part because of the proliferation of avenues for disseminating information and the recognition of the significance of this particular event, it's made available to people. And I, of course, hope that people have been listening, if not through the entire thing, certainly to significant portions of it, to understand the process, to actually hear people talking. I think that's a valuable thing. Obviously, the role journalists play also is invaluable in part because they help us understand, because they can make the longer term commitment to understanding the issue than we can in the little bits that we might be able to listen. Now, having said that, it's been interesting to watch senators across the Senate figure out how to deal with this issue. And we have a bit of a contrast in Indiana, in spite of the fact that they are both Republicans, two sort of different approaches. We have Todd Young, who made it clear very early on that he was going to be listening to what everyone was having to say and was not willing to commit one way or another to anything, and that his vote would be contingent upon the information presented. Even if the argument could have been made, all that information was known in advance, he was still going to wait to hear what was said before he decided what to do. And he's made that point very clear. Some would argue that is somebody who is taking the role of the oath that they took very seriously. In Mike Braun, we have somebody who, you know, he's probably, we know he's listening to everything that's being said, but early on he made it relatively clear that he was starting with the assumption that the president had done something that was not, or not done anything that was impeachable, and he certainly hasn't gotten off of that position. For a lot of people, they may have seen him on NBC's Meet the Press this past weekend or a couple Sundays ago, where his answers may not have been as polished as longer-serving senators would have given us, but he was able to explain his position on issues. You may not have liked his position, but you certainly could understand it, and it was kind of refreshing that there was not a lot of yelling during that interview, but he did make it clear that he's sort of starting with the assumption that he's heard nothing that would make him believe the president had done anything that was impeachable, and was basically making the case that things could get shut down pretty quickly. That appearance has been followed then by a couple of other mildly high-profile appearances by Senator Braun. You see him in some photos at podium and microphones with other senators who are very much taking the president's position on the issue.
And I guess I should say we are recording this. Things are going to change when we're recording this. They have not yet voted on whether to allow witnesses or what. So there is a possibility that you and I might talk again. Is there anything else that you can think of that our listeners might have missed during the month of January when we talk about politics and things going on around Indiana?
Yeah, I think that if we go back to the Senate for a moment, clearly the testimony that was presented was, in many respects, what people had heard before. The questions that we're hearing now, as we're recording this, are an attempt to sort of give a little nuance to what was said or to put a finer point on some issues. But then there's also the reality of what's going on outside the Senate that might change people's minds. During this entire administration, have become used to news events happening on a very quick basis compared to other administrations. Those events may not have changed people's opinions about several issues, but we're used to big things coming out. Even though the Senate is doing their question and answer activity right now as you and I are talking, by the time this airs, there could be something that came out in those questions, but also we have to remember there could be something that comes out in the broader public that makes senators change their mind. And we'll have to wait and see whether that is what happens. So I do want to remind people that not only may you and I be talking again, but there may be really good reason for us to be talking again because of significant changes. As far as the state is concerned, though, I do want to encourage people to go to the website iga.in.gov. That's iga.in.gov, which is the General Assembly's website. And that's a place where people can take a look at legislation as well as the hearings that are coming up. And fortunately, now we've had enough progress in terms of technology, you can actually watch virtually every hearing that's going on. If there's a bill that you see under the subject listing of legislation that sounds interesting, you can also take a look to see if there's a hearing going on and actually click on that and listen to what the legislators are actually doing. It may be admittedly a little boring at times to do that sort of thing, but it's also a chance to hear directly from the legislators and to get used to the process. So just in case you decide you want to get active on an issue, you're better informed and you're sort of used to how a piece of legislation moves through the process.
Andy, thanks so much for coming by WBUI Presents, and thank you so much for helping us put things in perspective.
It's always a pleasure. Thanks for having me.